Hey, y'all.
This is Talkin' Trash with Liv
and Lizzie,
the podcast where two friends show each other our silliest and most treasured movies.
Each week, we'll watch a beloved movie,
no matter how corny, childish, or contrived.
Sometimes a masterpiece with minor flaws.
Other times, a magnificent mess.
Because one man's trash
is Liv and Lizzie's treasure. Welcome to our cabaret episode.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right.
We're actually doing the vibe proper.
We're semi-proper vibing it.
Fair.
If we were like really proper vibing it, the vibe would be like a good like Hefeweizen beer, like a good German brew.
This is true. We are doing a Bordeaux at present.
Yeah. So we're European.
Yes.
Wrong country, yeah. But European.
It would also probably help if you weren't wrapped up in my Critical Role blanket and I wasn't wrapped up in my Bucky's blanket.
We need to be wearing, like, you know what you need? You know your robe?
I'm going to go put on my robe.
Okay, go put on your robe. Yeah. Lizzie has this robe. Tell them about your robe, Lizzie.
I have one of those, like, widow who definitely doesn't know that her husband was found dead recently robes. It is long and sheer and pink, and it has, like, the fur-lined, really long sleeves. A lot of people have these now, and I'm still okay with it.
It's great.
It's got, like, lots of ruffles on the front so that it sachets when I walk.
Mm-hmm.
And, not gonna lie, it's one of the most flattering things in my closet.
I love it. I want one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm considering buying myself one.
It is a delight.
I want, like, a black or a green one, maybe. I don't know. Something a little darker.
I wanted pink, and I'm really happy I've got the pink.
I do really like the pink one.
Yeah.
It's a good color.
If I had another color, I would probably go, like, black or red.
Mm-hmm. A lavender would work, too.
Lavender
very
would,
light pale purple.
Lavender would work. I'm not really a lavender girl,
yeah.
Personally. It's not.
I feel
really
like you either
color.
Love purple.
Well, and here's the thing.
Or, like, people who love purple, like, love purple.
It's true. Growing up, purple was my favorite color. As I got older, I realized it was blue.
Mm.
But as far as, like, I figured out quickly the colors that I look good wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my whole closet is just pink, red, blue, black, white.
Yep.
And some gold. And, like, that is the color scheme. And so I think I have a couple purple things,
mm-hmm.
for funsies. But yeah, like purple, just not a big wearer of purple.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yep.
But yeah. But yeah, that would totally be a vibe.
Yeah.
So you'll definitely feel right wearing that while watching this film.
I have to be honest, this is a weird one for me because usually when we do these, like, I know a little bit about the films,
mm-hmm.
and here what little bit I know is, like, tiny clips I've seen, but even then, I haven't put this movie together.
Did you take postmodern literature at UGA?
I did not take a postmodern class,
okay.
But you know, part of probably, I studied postmodernism. Let me tell you about my English degree and sound very pseudo-intellectual. When I got there, I managed to AP out of, like, the intro classes, so I had to take some, what do you call them, survey courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I did American literature, which was interesting because I wasn't a big fan of American literature, but that was the only one that was available to a sad little freshman like me. So all postmodernism that I have really thoroughly studied has been American and expat postmodernism.
Okay.
So
this is kind of in that strain.
It's in that setting, right? Because
so this play, or excuse me, this musical.
Happy Musical Month.
Happy Musical Month. Began as a novel called Goodbye to Berlin, which was written by Christopher Isherwood. Weirdly enough, the main character of that play is called Christopher Isherwood. However, it is a fictionalized version of the author. It is not autobiographical in any way, shape, or form. But in the novel, it's pretty similar. Christopher Isherwood, like, meets a cabaret singer, and they kind of have a relationship. The background of the story...
Is it a romantic relationship, or is it a friendship?
It's complicated.
Understood.
So... one of the things to consider, let's talk, this is one where you kind of, knowing the historical background kind of helps you understand the great tragedy of this story.
Mm-hmm.
So before the rise of the Nazis, Germany as a whole, culturally, was not necessarily cohesive, but Berlin in particular was a progressive center of arts and ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
Berlin was one of the only places in the world where being openly gay wasn't really a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there were circles for entertainers, actors, dancers, performers, and queer people all over the city that were, you were just accepted. So this story takes place right before the Nazis rise to power. And the reason the original novel is called Goodbye to Berlin is because it is about a man struggling with his sexuality. He is either gay or bisexual. I don't think it's ever directly said. Christopher Isherwood, I'm pretty sure, identified as gay. But the point is he's, like, found this freedom in Berlin. And then the Nazis come and destroy that. So mm-hmm. it is an ode to what Berlin used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that book was turned into a play. Not a musical, but a play.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there was adapted once more into the musical. So the musical, the main character is no longer called Christopher Isherwood. I forget what he's called, actually, because his name is so cemented as Christopher Isherwood in my head that I struggle to remember. Ryan Roberts, played by Michael York.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's the Christopher Isherwood character, and he comes to Berlin where he meets Liza Minnelli's character, Sally Bowles, and begins a romantic relationship with her. And so the main plot of the film revolves around those two falling in love, and then they meet this man called Maximilian von Huhn. I think I'm saying his last name right. Problem with Max is that Max is clearly attracted to both Sally and to Ryan, who is struggling to figure out what his sexuality is. And Sally becomes really jealous because Brian and Max start spending a lot of time together, and their relationship has a lot of turmoil. But all of this is going on while in the background you have the actual cabaret where Sally performs every night, which is kind of a metaphorical background for what's going on in reality.
Mm-hmm.
All of the songs are diegetic, which is different from most musicals where the songs are, in theory, not really happening.
Right.
Here, the songs are being performed. But they always have some sort of thematic connection. One of the things that is really cool too is that as the songs are, almost all the songs are at the cabaret. There's one that's not, and it's simultaneously my favorite and least favorite part of the movie. We'll talk about it when we come back. But the backdrop is the Nazis' rise to power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, picture, like, if Sound of Music was sexy, like, similar historical
Salzburg
vibes.
In the last golden days of the 30s.
Yeah, that kind of vibe.
I don't know if that was an Austrian accent. I'm sorry. I apologize to the entire nation of Austria.
This one, of course, is a little closer to home because, like I said, it's in Berlin. It's in the heart of Germany.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you kind of get to see, like, the other side, because I think one thing I like about this film, so most of the characters are not German, but what you kind of see is that they love this country.
Right.
They appreciate Germany for what it is, and there you start seeing, like, there is resistance. Like, I think we like to think that, like, all of the Germans were gung-ho about being Nazis, but they weren't, you know? And so you kind of get to see the other side here.
Yeah.
What the artsy types, how they felt about it.
Yeah.
So it's a really good film. Way too good for this channel. In fact, it won many.
Was this a Best Picture?
This was nominated for Best Picture, but did not win. It did win.
Let's be real, though. We've already watched one other film that was nominated for Best Picture.
That's true. So. That's true. This one...
But this one's probably better.
But the one that we... Wasn't that Les Mis?
It was Les Mis.
But that one's objectively bad. Yeah. Like, that one was Oscar bait that after we all got over it, we realized it wasn't good. This one has been good since the 70s, and it just gets better with time. Like, it's excellent. Liza Minnelli won for Best Actress. Joel Grey, who you know if you've ever seen Wicked.
Yes.
He is the original wizard in Wicked. He won as Best Supporting Actor. He played the MC, who's pretty much everybody's favorite character. Definitely my favorite character. Mm-hmm. The director is Bob Fosse.
Of course he is.
Yeah. So be like, look forward to the dancing. It's really cool. It's very Fosse. It's very hip thrusty.
Yes.
It almost makes you uncomfortable, but it's wonderful. I mean, it won Best Cinematography, Production Design, Sound Mixing, Film Editing, and Original Score. I mean, it's a powerhouse of a film, and the only reason I'm showing it to you is because you haven't seen it. If you had seen it, it would not be on this channel.
Got it.
Yep.
Well,
what are you expecting from it?
It's weird, because in some ways, I feel like I know exactly what to expect. And in many ways, I really don't. I am expecting a lot of walking conversations. Like, I imagine there's a lot of we walk around Berlin and talk. And or smoking conversations.
Okay.
We sit and smoke and talk.
Okay.
I expect a lot of very skinny pants on both men and women. I expect the film to end and I am uncertain how to feel. I don't expect a happy ending, but I don't expect a downright sad ending either. You asked if I'd studied postmodernism, so I'm expecting, you know, the postmodern mantra of life sucks, and then maybe you get to die. Who knows? Modernism was life sucks and then you die. Postmodernism is life sucks and then maybe you die, or maybe you continue to exist in this world.
And maybe things are okay for a while. And maybe they're not. And the not being okay is okay. Bruh, you get it? Right? Maybe? I don't know.
I'm not a postmodernist, like, but I enjoy postmodern.
Postmodernism is just a lot of, like, well, that happens.
That.
Yep. That's that. Yeah, it's postmodern.
Yeah.
So you know what to expect.
Yeah.
If you've read Hemingway, if you've read, you know,
ooh,
it's similar,
you know,
vibes.
What? This is going to end, and I'm going to want to go watch Midnight in Paris. That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though this is Berlin and not Paris. I was like, why did I pick a French wine? But, like, I don't know. I still feel like, I feel like this is going to borrow a lot from French, was it New Wave or Nouveau cinema?
Like, I should know this because I do have a film degree, but I
took one film class and I watched like two French black and white art films, and I'm really ashamed that I don't remember what that
is
called.
This film,
I don't expect the weird cuts from it.
No, it's an American film that
does it want to be.
It wanted to push the envelope, but I don't think it was trying to be too...
I don't think Fosse can push the envelope that much.
I think Fosse pushes the envelope in other ways besides, like, the cinematography is really good. Yeah. But we'll see. I don't really know.
I feel like I'll have a lot to say after this movie. Yeah. But.
All right. So without further ado,
do we jazz hands to start this?
Sure, we can.
I didn't say jazz hands was a prediction, but jazz hands is a prediction.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
There's definitely jazz hands.
Yay!
You won't be disappointed.
I'm doing lots of jazz hands now.
You know, the hat.
Oh, yes, we got a hat. There's going to be a lot of, like, turning to the side and then...
Yeah. Like, there's chairs. There's dancing in underwear. But, like, actual 30s underwear where it's, like, not, like, tight, conforming to your body. Right. Yeah. It's good. It's great. All right. Cabaret! Jazz hands.
We have finished. It was very good.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of a thinky movie.
Yes. I was anticipating that. Excuse me. Yeah, ask me questions because I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay. I don't even know where to start. So why don't we just start with... let's start... with the individual characters.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your impressions of Sally?
So, love Sally as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Do not like Sally as a person.
No.
Yeah.
I understand why Sally is how she is.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a disaster.
And, yeah, I feel like watching this... You know, I said at one point in the beginning, I was like, oh, she's kind of like a manic pixie. But the story is hers, mm-hmm. not the sad male protagonist.
The original story is a little bit more of the sad male protagonist, but even in that, Sally serves a different purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Sally reminds me of a litany of postmodern women who came before her,
mm-hmm.
or really around the same time as her. Like, I think of Brett from The Sun Also Rises. I think of Daisy from, Great Gatsby. But just kind of this, like, chaotic, destructive woman.
Chaotic, sad.
Yeah, it's like everything's so rooted in her own trauma and mental illness that she just, like, simultaneously is kind of beautiful but also insane.
Yeah, when she started saying, you know, I'm self-centered and all the stuff, and he's, like, trying to, like, bolster her, I'm like, no, all those things, I mean, she does need to be bolstered, but all of those things are very true.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very intriguing character, terrible person. But I care about her story.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of where I've landed.
Yeah.
What's his face?
Brian.
Brian, I understand his kind of character journey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like him either, but I
hated Brian the first time I saw this movie.
I don't hate him.
Oh, I didn't like him. I thought he was annoying. But subsequent viewings, I've grown very fond of him.
Yeah. I feel for him, though. I feel like he is, sort of lost and then ends up being used. But that's only because, you know, she's been taken advantage of so much in her life. Maybe not even taken advantage of. She's been... disregarded, I guess, is a better word.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it makes sense that then she turns around and disregards him. But I do feel for him in that.
What I like about their relationship is, to me, they're both incredibly immature, but in very different ways.
Yes.
Like, Sally is very worldly. She's very mature in terms of, like, sex and partying, and she understands that kind of grown-up world.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily speak to...
Right. She emotionally is incredibly stunted.
Yes.
And kind of intellectually stunted a little bit, too. Whereas Brian is a little more intellectually mature. And he's kind of the opposite. Like, his emotions are so bottled up and so reserved that I think... I like them as foils. I think they're both incredibly toxic together, but they do bring out the best in each other. I think he tries to pull her down to earth a little bit. And I think maybe even succeeds a little bit at the end.
Well, she's certainly self-aware at the end.
Yes.
Because suddenly things that she had told herself she wanted, she realized she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, let's be real. You know, we were joking about when they're at Maximilian's house. I was like, oh, no, I would be very tempted to marry this guy for his money and his manner. But she would not have been happy there.
No.
And I think she realizes that. So, but it is still incredibly tragic, everything that has to happen for her to reach that point and realize that.
Agreed.
And it's incredibly tragic for him to reach the point where he realizes, oh, she's never going to want the life that I ultimately do. Now that I've kind of explored things and realized that he does kind of want to settle down in some way. Liked them both. I liked the switching back to the cabaret performances and the things that they reflected. I thought some of the most impactful scenes were ones that were cutting back and forth between what was happening in the cabaret.
Yeah.
I had seen stills from this before and seen stills of the cabaret and like the campy makeup and costumes and things, and I always was like, that always looks very frightening and off-putting. And now, to me, that makes perfect sense, having seen the movie and these kind of themes of, you know, raucous partying to ignore the real horrors of things that are going on.
This is kind of a sidestep from characters, but I have a lot of thoughts about the very last song. So if you've never seen it, the last song is, the lyrics are, "Life is a cabaret, old chum, so come to the cabaret." What do you think thematically about that?
Most of the movie is her trying to escape into this dream that she has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this dream of being a movie star actress.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're constantly chasing that dream, then you're living in this kind of heightened fantasy.
Yeah.
So, you know, life is about, I mean, for her, is about escaping, you know, pain and trauma and kind of putting on a performance.
Yeah.
And, I think, you know, the happy peppy songs that always have some sort of dark undercurrent or twist, really fits this, because she's, you know, this vivacious, I want to, you know, live life to the fullest, but she's really, like, dead inside.
Mm-hmm. Is like, she's masking a lot of hurt and pain.
Yeah.
Vivian, and of course, Ryan is too, to some extent.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, one of the things that I find...
Ryan masks it in the most British way possible.
Yes. And one of the things that I think, too, there's so much masking in this movie. I don't remember the other man's name, but... There's the man who we think is Protestant until the end of the movie when he confesses he's a Jew.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, pretending to be something he's not, to stay safe.
The woman he marries is pretending that, you know, she's still a virgin.
Yeah.
To, you know, mask things in front of her father. And
the society... One of the things I think that's interesting, too, is... One of my favorite scenes is... if you've never seen it, it's a horribly disturbing scene where they go to this little, like, Bavarian town and they're just stopping to drink some beers and it's a beautiful, bright, sunny day. And this little blonde boy starts singing this song called Tomorrow Belongs to Me. And they shoot it very close on his face. And then it zooms out and you find out he's a Hitler youth. Mm-hmm. And then everyone starts standing and singing the song with him. And at first it sounds like a song about, like, the bright future of, like, the young people of the country. But then you realize that it's actually, like, a nationalistic...
Yeah.
Cry of like white supremacy and power.
Yep.
But it's interesting because that evil, especially as it goes, you kind of see that evil kind of masks itself behind these pure children. So many of the people that you see singing in that scene are these children. And then there's also, there's like that old man
that won't stand up and sing.
Yeah, but then there's the man at the apartment where they're living, where they're renting, who you've seen several times, and he seems really nice, but then he starts talking about this conspiracy theory of, like, Jews and communists working together to take over the country. So it's like, again, like, who are all these people? And even like the sweet old lady who brought them tea is like, I wish the Kaiser was still in power. Back then we had order, so it's like even this facade of, like, niceness or, you know, all of that is so incredibly, it's all performative. Mm-hmm. And that, like, there's not an honest person in this film.
Yeah.
Especially thinking about, like, the woman who brings the tea. She brings in the tea because the Jewish woman whose name escapes me comes over for English lessons with Brian's character, and her family owns, like, one of the largest, like, clothing stores. Yeah. She's incredibly wealthy. She's like an heiress. And the same woman says, like, I can't believe she's in my house. Like, that's so amazing. And then there's the song Money Makes the World Go Round. So through that lens, they don't care that she's Jewish. They just care about her money.
Yeah.
But then once their, like, nationalism starts taking over, even she starts saying these things that are very subtly, you know, racist and anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's...
I thought the... the buildup of those things. I also liked many of the shots of the Germans. They're always completely still. So, like, the opening shot of the cabaret, like, you know, panning across the audience, they're all sitting very still, except when it cuts back to the MC. Same at the end. But then also the one time they're driving past a murder, no one is moving.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, you know... It's also interesting to me, like, when you talked about that Tomorrow Belongs to Me scene, usually the Germans are kind of stoic and stationary in the background, or they're fading into the background. But here, they have a... Like, in that one scene is where they all have a voice, because most of these other characters are expats, Mm-hmm. And we're seeing what they're doing in mm-hmm. Berlin at this time.
Yeah. And one of my other favorite things about that scene is just the way it's shot. The camera is so close to every person who's singing. Mm-hmm. And at first they all look kind of serene, but then they look kind of frenzied and yeah. and like they look terrifying yeah. by the time it's done. But the closeness of the camera and the shot feels oppressive. Mm-hmm. It's like when somebody steps into your personal bubble and you don't want them there. Mm-hmm. So it feels claustrophobic. And I think they did a really good job of showing how like oppressive and overwhelming that sentimentality is. That yeah. this, you know, evil notion of that is Nazism is all consuming in that scene.
Right.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of the MC?
I like it. Still creepy and off-putting, but I get that that's kind of the point. Yeah, kind of this, both commentator on the action, but also sort of, frightening reality about this kind of dream she's pursuing, because it always comments on the reality in a mocking way, but it the only reason why the mockery is frightening is because we are looking at it through a historical lens mm-hmm. and seeing, we know the realities of the things that are being joked about. So I think those things kind of work together.
One of the things that still kind of wigs me out about the MC, and it's something that I think this almost works better as a film. Most musicals don't. Most musicals are garbage as films. Mm-hmm. This one almost works better because the way that Fosse has shot the MC, the MC breaks the fourth wall, like, a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's like everyone else is performing to the audience, and they make a distinction too. Yeah. Like everyone will be looking straight at the audience, and he will turn his head to the side and look yeah. directly at the camera. So it's almost like he's like God or something. Like he knows what's happening.
Yeah.
And he's so creepy, and I still haven't fully wrapped my head around like what the MC is and what he represents. Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of this, you know, the other thing is that we as the outside observer, I mean, it doesn't take us very long to immediately be able to pinpoint every problem with each of these characters. Mm-hmm. The journey is watching the characters figure out these things about themselves.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of like a winking, you know, like let's be real, the song about the threesome. Mm-hmm. We know when they leave that there is that tension there. Mm-hmm. And we don't need someone to point that out to mm-hmm. us. But it's almost like, I know what you're thinking about.
Yeah, it's you know? Almost mocking.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things too is, you know, we talk a lot of times, it just you hear people talk about like, oh, like art and cinema is meant to like hold a mirror up to society or whatever. Like, so you're watching these people and they're absolute disasters and we're critiquing them, but I think it's really interesting to note that the film begins and ends with a mirror.
Yes.
But the mirror at the end, the crowd is mostly made up of Nazis.
Yeah.
So I don't 100% know what that means, but sometimes I wonder if it's like a criticism of the audience itself. Mm-hmm. Like we condemn certain things, we condemn the actions of these characters, we condemn Nazism, mm-hmm. but then like societally, like don't we still do horrible things and we
That's
don't
interesting.
Look out for each other and like mm-hmm. there's still policies in place that hurt people. And so it's like, I don't know that that's what Fosse intended, but I question if that wasn't the point.
Yeah.
And he's reminding us, like, hey, you should do some soul searching.
Yeah. Nazis went and watched things like this, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, he literally welcomes and then bids farewell mm-hmm. to the audience. So we're definitely being asked to, you know, partake in this mm-hmm. and place ourselves in this spot. So whether that's asking questions about identity or,
mm-hmm.
where we fit in this particular, these kind of conversations, I think that's definitely there.
Yeah. What did you think? Well, let me ask this. Was there anything about this film that you didn't like?
I think, I'm actually trying to think about that. Sometimes I was wondering if some of the songs were a little too on the nose mm-hmm. for what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would, but I think a lot of my criticisms of it where I'm like, this seems like something I've seen before. I have to remind myself that a lot of other films did those things because we came from this. So yeah, I think those things are kind of still, how do I put it? Still sort of, we can still see those echoes today.
Yes.
Yeah. As far as anything else that I didn't like, some of these scenes felt like really drawn out, but I also realized that's part of the, you know, the tone and the aesthetic here is that.
And they feel, I will say that depending on when I watch it, like I've seen it a couple times at this point, there are some viewings where I'm not like mentally prepared to dissect the scene and they feel so long. And there's other viewings where I go in and I'm just like, oh, I get it. Like I understand the artistic choice here and it adds a lot, and then they don't feel long anymore because I'm looking at everything else in the scene.
Right.
And I'm analyzing. But this is not the movie that you like put on in the background for a good time.
No, by no means.
No.
Yeah.
No, you have to be ready to think about it.
Yes.
What were some of your favorite things about it?
I really liked I really liked some of the cabaret numbers. Mm-hmm. I really liked the final one. I thought it tied the whole thing together.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the one with it was just dancing, and I was kind of like, I don't get the point of this one, until they turned the caps around and they looked and like Nazi helmets.
Yeah.
Love that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked kind of, I liked feeling clever throughout this whole movie. I loved the every single time Brian being offered a cigar or a cigarette by a man, I was like, I get it. I get it. I get mm-hmm. it. And then he accepts the golden case and offers one to Maximilian. I was like, oh.
They're phalluses.
Well, no, I knew that part. But
no,
I,
right?
But that was,
you're like,
but I was going, I still don't think he and Brian have had any kind of relationship.
And then as soon as that happens, you're like, yes, they have. Yes, they have.
Yes, they have. So the symbolism works really well for this movie. The color symbolism works really well for this movie. I really liked some of the shots, especially for the time that this came out. You know, when the camera pans behind her while she's on the stage and films out to the audience, I thought those were all very well done.
One of my favorite shots is when it's when they're toasting to the baby. Because Sally gets pregnant in one part. She ends up having an abortion. But she and Brian, like, he's leaning over her. The best way I could explain it is...
It's the Spider-Man kiss.
But the way that the lighting in that scene is just so pretty.
All the candles are really pretty.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the way they're backlit, and there's, like, a halo. Like, a... I don't know how to explain it. Like, her silhouette is white. And she's, like, darker. Usually, you would... I don't know how to explain it. It's just lighting was the part of film class that I was like, for some reason, it just didn't click. I was like, sure, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I knew what I had to know to pass the test, and then I was out. But... Yeah, I like...
I'm a color symbolism girl, so
Me too.
I dug all the colors.
Yeah.
Which that tends to be, honestly, a big musical thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, color symbolism ends up being really big.
That's true. But yeah, this is definitely a movie that, like, it's worth seeing multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not much to critique. It's objectively a good film.
Yeah.
I love Liza Minnelli.
I liked her performance a lot in this. Mm-hmm. I get why she won all the things.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a big Liza Minnelli fan. And maybe that's because I had seen a lot of parodies of Liza Minnelli before I actually saw Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I like this character, and these characters fascinate me. I am left sad by the ending of it. I know I was like, I don't know if I'll know how to feel. No, I'm just sad. I'm happy that these people figured out that it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm just like, oh.
It's, like, bittersweet.
It's just so sad, all the ish you had to go through, and, you know, the abortion and all of that was just really sad.
And then to
figure out, oh, that's not what we want together.
And I think the worst thing about it is that they grow as people, and you see that, like, they're not there yet. They have more growth to do. But you feel like, even though it's sad that they split, there was growth. And
it's what they needed to do.
And you have, you kind of see the masks coming off at the end. They're honest with each other. The one character who is pretending to be Christian admits to, the girl he loves that he is in fact Jewish. They're able to get married. So there's all these little happy things, but then they remind you at the end, hey, the Nazis are slowly infiltrating and all of this is going to go away.
Yeah.
Like Sally makes it very clear that her dream is still to be an actress, and she knows that it's dumb and she knows that it's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But she wants to keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a very good reason why the book that this is based off of is called Goodbye to Berlin.
Yeah.
Because Berlin is no longer this hub of the arts after the Nazis take over.
Yeah.
So even though you feel like there's been some progress, you know what's coming historically.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. It's not fun.
Movie was fun, even though it was not fun.
Yes.
You're gonna suffer, but you're gonna be happy about it. Go watch Cabaret.
You should. And, so yeah, I guess that kind of wraps up our conversation.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's just a pretty good solid movie. Go see it if you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
What do we watch next?
Well, okay, I think we should probably stick with our format of me showing you movies that you haven't seen. Because, let's be real, the trashiest musical that we both love, we have to save for when we're watching one that we've both seen.
Yeah.
I know you kind of, sort of saw parts of this one, but not really. I think we need to do the exact opposite of Cabaret and do a movie that you don't have to think about at all.
But it is still based on... All these have been historical so far. It's historical musicals.
Spoiler. We're going to watch The Greatest Showman.
It's kind of historical.
It is based on a person who really had that name.
That is true. Yep.
That's
that's about it, so, to be perfectly honest.
So I have seen, we've talked about this, I've seen this film. Sort of.
Yeah.
I was with a friend who made really good cocktails, and she made me cocktails with dinner, and we watched the film after dinner. So I had already had a couple cocktails going into it, and then we continued. Her husband started making us cocktails after that.
Yeah.
And then I don't have a lot of memories of the evening. I remember... I vaguely remember coming to... I was like... I'm not gonna lie. I was like blackout drunk. Mm. I have memories briefly of coming into focus when... the bearded lady is like stomping and like singing her song, and she's got like a horde of like circus people with her, and I was like, whoa, and then I flashed out again, and then I came to, and Zac Efron and Zendaya, it's Zendaya, right?
Yeah.
They were like flying through the air, and her hair was pink, and I was like, whoa, and then I blacked out again. I don't remember anything else until my husband was like, come on, and was like putting me in the car. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. Even though I have technically watched the whole film, and I know all the music from it, thanks to TikTok, I've heard all of them.
Great.
I've heard most of them, at least. They're all, they all are pretty famous at this point. But, I could not tell you what it's about. I know it's about, like, is it Barnum? Is it a circus? Okay.
Yep.
And then there's, like, that opera singer, and I don't know who she is or what she has to do with the plot, but she has that one song.
Yep, she's a real person.
And she's... I came to briefly, and I was like, oh, we're at an opera, and then I don't remember the rest.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see it. Next week, Greatest Showman.
Next week, Greatest Showman. Woo. We'll get Hugh Jackman up in here.
Until then, Auf Wiedersehen.
Bientot. Is that good night?
I don't know.
Oh.
It's just what he says at the end of the movie.
I know Auf Wiedersehen. I would guess being taught was good night.
Probably. Auf Wiedersehen. I think it's French. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
's for hopping in the trash can with us.
Give this week's movie a watch and tell us what you think.
And let us know what movies you think are trashy treasure.
Maybe we'll give it a watch.
Follow us on Twitter at Liv and Lizzie to tell us your thoughts.
And remember, no matter how trashy you feel, you are deeply treasured.
Bye!